Welcome to this week's episode of the First Moves podcast. This week we're doing a bit of a different episode. It's a special episode, behind the scenes, exclusive content. We are actually sitting in a different studio, as you might see in the background. We're sitting here in Studio Radium in Maastricht, and we're actually covering the
Brightland Startup Challenge. So Sebastian and I, we just saw 19 different teams present their ideas to an audience of hundreds of people about why their idea can hit it big. So join us today. We'll be talking to different participants, some of the jury members, about what makes these teams successful and where they're going next. So make sure you listen to this episode. We actually recommend that you watch it on our YouTube channel. It'll be linked below wherever you're listening to. And that way you can actually see some B-roll and some really exclusive behind the scenes content. We really hope you enjoyed the episode. We got a lot of our conversations, and we're looking forward to see where these companies go in the future.
And don't mind some of the background noise. There will be people moving in the back. There will be a little bit of music. There will be talking in the back as well. But that's just all part of the episode.
Exactly. This is a special edition. We hope you enjoy the show. All right. Welcome, everyone. We are with Louisa from Participe, the chief marketing officer. She's a student here at Maastricht University, studies data science and AI. And her startup, Participe, just won the Audience Award. So, question being, Louisa, how does it feel to win the Audience Award here at the Challenge?
I mean, I'm super happy. Like, a lot of people came to support, which I didn't, like, expect, so that's very nice. And also winning, like, the audience prize means that, like, the people really got our idea and they can see us building it, so I'm very, very proud.
Good. I think indeed an audience prize says a lot, because it doesn't come from a few jury members. It comes from the hundreds of attendees that were here. So having that really does say a lot.
Yeah. And that means I didn't screw up the pitch, which is very good.
Yes. We could say I thought your pitch was honestly one of the best. Yeah. And I mean that.
Thank you very much.
How was it pitching up there?
I was very nervous because it was the first time. For me, I like being on camera, but like an audience, like, stresses me out, but I think I did well. The slides weren't going with me, but no one notices, so that's good.
Nice. No, I didn't notice.
Could you give a quick introduction to Participe?
So Participe is an online ticketing system with an attendance-based refund policy. And what we're trying to solve is the problem with no shows at free events. So that means people signing up, but they're not showing up to the event, which leads to wasted resources, unreliable attendance, and just overall like a disappointing feeling for the organizers. So we do this with a deposit system, so people can sign up and then they get their money back if they show up to the event. And if they don't show up, the money is either donated to charity or covers for the cost of the event for the organizer.
Perfect. So there's also an element of impact there as well.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool.
Mainly that, because also free events are mainly always about some kind of impact, at least where we're trying to think about our markets is like non-profit student association. There's also other stuff that we can cover, but the first main focus was this.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
Nice, sounds like a nice way to enter the market as well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And well, who doesn't want to save money, huh? That's always the thing.
Fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I've also organized a lot of events with this order. And then, you know, you would have the potential to have, you know, 100 something people show up, but then 50 show up and you're like, nah, and it is disappointing.
Yeah.
So indeed having that, I think seeing that with a lot of friends as well who've done events, I think there's definitely something there.
Yeah. And for logistics as well, like if you're ordering catering or something, like as I mentioned in the pitch, you're like, yeah, I have 100 signups, then I order like 200 euros of catering and then 30 people show up.
Yeah.
Sure, we can try a way to not waste the food, but the money still went there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. How was it actually to go through the last few months all the way from the kickoff event to today? There's a few months of work in between. What kind of stuff did you guys learn, maybe change and grow as a team with Participe?
We got a lot of feedback, which actually, like, I didn't expect us to get this far in the challenge. I was like, I don't know, it's a cool idea, but I don't know if people get it because maybe we're a bit in our bubble of events. But then we got a lot of feedback. We saw like that there's so many different actually markets that we could go into with this solution. And it was very, very valuable. It also got us thinking more about like actually about the business model, as well as we were focusing mainly on the technicalities because we're like tech students, all of us. So it got us like thinking, okay, business model, how do we want to reach the customers? What do we want to do like financially and this kind of stuff? So it was very helpful.
Cool. What would you say to other people who are interested in maybe joining the challenge?
I think definitely do it. Like I saw it in my first year when I came here to Maastricht and I was like, I want to do this. When I have the right idea, I want to do this because it like it pushes you to be outside of your comfort zone. You really try to give a shot to your idea, so you get the feedback. You see, like, maybe we can adjust here, or maybe there's not exactly the need in this market, but there could be in another market. So, like, of course, always go outside of your comfort zone and try, you know? You might win, you never know.
Like you did.
Congratulations on the win, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
So now that you guys have won this prize, mm-hmm. what's next for Participate?
So we're already working actually on the minimal viable product. So we want to focus first on that, and we're still running some events more to gather data and proof of concept. There's an event called Dreams and Demos that if you're thinking about having a startup, you should join. And that's where entrepreneurs talk about their ideas, and it expired the whole idea for Participate because there was like this problem with the no-shows at that event. So we want to run more tests, gather more data, work on the MVP, and then run a pilot. So that's our next steps for now.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you soon.
And congratulations again.
Yes. Thank you.
And maybe we'll have you back on the podcast in a few months.
Yeah. Maybe. Yes. I think you will.
Yes, let's do it. All right. Perfect. Thanks. We are here right now with Anita van Geels, professor in family business and strategic entrepreneurship at Maastricht University. She was one of the jury members, but also representative of the university here right now. And we're going to ask her a few questions about the challenge. Anita, welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, a quick question. You were one of the jury members. What are you actually looking for in the winning companies that you are selecting?
Well, of course, we did get some criteria. An important one is, of course, value proposition. Are you able to deliver value to your customers? If you're not able to deliver value, then you will also not have a sustainable business model. Next to that, we also looked at innovation. What is the level of innovation? Could companies really indicate how they differentiate, what their unique value proposition is? But we also looked at what is the fit with the region. Of course, we have the four Brightlands campuses over here. And our aim with the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation is, of course, also to do pre-incubation, help students that are not ready to get investments to continue to further develop. And later on, we can also then help them to go to one of the campuses, the Brightlands campuses, to further develop.
Perfect. Very thorough criteria, but very important. How does this actually benefit the university? What is the university trying to get out of the challenge here?
For the university, this is really important. We realize that what we're doing, what our main task at the university is of course building the leaders of the future or the entrepreneurs of the future. And our problem-based learning system provides the students with the opportunity to debate, to cooperate with each other, but they don't really have the opportunity during the courses to set up a business. So for us, it's allowing the students to integrate theory in practice and really experience what they have been studying. And you need everything. Eh? You need finance, you need marketing, you need your controlling. You need leadership in order to motivate the other people. So that's one of the important reasons. Secondly, we all know the discussion that is currently going on in the Dutch government. Should we attract international students or not? Luckily, they now came to the conclusion that it is more important to retain those international students so that they have added value for the region over here. And I think with what we are doing all together over here, linking our students to the local ecosystem over here, that makes them more connected, and maybe that helps also for them to stay over here. At the same time, I think it's also an added value to the companies over here in this ecosystem, because you have all these bright and smart students and they start to discuss AI and the apps and every and NFTs. And that's important that also our companies can learn from what our students are developing and doing over here.
Perfect.
So what would you say to the students who are sitting at the university right now? They have an idea, but they're a little bit scared of kind of going out there with it. What advice would you give to them right now?
Just come to the first meeting. We're starting again in February or the beginning of March. As an entrepreneur in the challenge, you have the opportunity to talk with other people about your idea, to further develop it. And you don't have to do it on your own. You're here in a university that has different specializations. people from with different backgrounds, from different countries might be interested in your idea. And before you know it, you have a team developed that is really also motivated, passionate about what you're going to do. And you won't have it if later on, if you finalized your studies, yeah, then you go to a work environment. So it will be much more difficult to develop your idea on your own. So now it's the opportunity to do so.
Perfect answer.
Yeah.
As two students who have their own companies,
indeed,
that is exactly
you
what you need.
And you have used these opportunities.
Yes. Yeah, we
definitely
have. Yeah. No, that was
very
true.
We're very proud of you and what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
yes,
still
thank
in
you
the region, so
yes,
it,
yeah,
it indicates that it effectively that it has an effect on the region.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed, we were earlier at the partner lunch, and I think either Hans Heine or Roy Wersma, they were saying that, you know, we're really here to build the ecosystem. And then you could look around from the rooftop bar that we were at, and you
yes
could see Maastricht. And I felt a bit of like, there is really an ecosystem here, and you do see it's on an upwards trajectory.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see that, and it's cool to be part of it.
Yes,
yeah,
great to hear.
Yeah.
Good that you're supporting us and doing this kind of work in order to get more students motivated to also compete in the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty. We also couldn't do it without the university, so there's a win-win
yeah
there. Yeah. All right, then I think last question is, how does the challenge look going forward? So you mentioned they're already starting in February. What can students pay attention to in the future?
Why we start organizing a second possibility is that for us, what we notice is when we only organize it once a year, then only half a year you get the support that you need. And of course, a company doesn't stop once the competition is over. We need for all these students that are motivated and that are enthusiastic that they can continue and that they also get this support. It might also be an added value. We are talking with our education institute because we see how many efforts students are doing. And we think it should also be part of their final transcript, that they get some credits for what they are doing, that if they learn a lot as an entrepreneur, but in the end decide, I don't want to become an entrepreneur, I first want to get some experience in a multinational or another company, that they can at least illustrate, I've not only been studying, but I have been doing something extra. And I have been entrepreneurial, learned a lot from that, so I'm an added value to you also as a company. And then what Roy indicated also, we're currently mainly focused on the region of Limburg, but we have a lot of contacts to Belgian partners, German partners, and we want to extend this ecosystem. We're living in a new region, and I think if we can also have companies in this competition that come from other regions, that get other support, also those student companies over here, they will one day maybe decide to internationalize or find partners. So that's an excellent opportunity, I think.
Yep.
Where would the students have to go to sign up for the next Brightlands Startup Challenge?
We are still deciding. It's the first time that we organize it two times. The website of the Brightlands Challenge will Startup Challenge will always be updated. So if you just go to the website, you will see the latest news and the new dates and where to sign up.
And that is brightlandschallenge.com.
Yes.
Yes.
And of course, we're also doing some promotion during the course of the entrepreneurship courses. So
perfect.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right, Anita, thank you so much for
thank
your time.
You.
Thank you.
And yeah, you heard it here. Sign up if you want to.
Yes.
I mean, not even if you want to, even if you're scared, sign up.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alejandro, welcome. Your team at Notchnot just won the Maastricht Impact Awards. How does it feel?
Well, it feels amazing, especially after working so long on this project, almost a year now. It's really rewarding to see the impact that we can cause on so many people.
Very fair. Can you maybe briefly explain to the listeners what Notchnot actually is and does?
Okay, so basically what we do on Notchnot is use a genetically modified bacteria to capture nitrates, which are a compound that's present in fertilizers. And since they in the agricultural industry, they use so much fertilizer, it ends up running off into the water bodies. And then it ends up polluting the environment. So basically, we want to capture it. And then not only that, give it a circular approach so we can transform these harmful compounds into proteins and then sell these as supplements or animal fodder.
So
very cool.
Really a business with a lot of impact. That's why the Maastricht Business or the Impact, sorry, not Business Awards. I'm so sorry. So the Maastricht Impact Award is very, very suitable for you guys to have won that. So congratulations on winning it, first of all.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit how you actually started going into the challenge? What made you make the decision to say, yes, we're actually going to sign up for it, we're going to go for it now?
Okay. So, yes, as I told you, we've been working on this project for a long time, way before we got into the startup challenge. So we got into it for the iGEM, which is International Genetically Engineered Machine, which is the biggest synthetic biology competition in the world. And every year, MSP, so the Master Science Program, sends a team of students to basically come up with an idea on how to solve a relevant issue that's also local. And so we started working on that from February until October when we had the Jamboree in Paris. And then after presenting our results, we really thought that we could continue with this project since we had already worked so much on it, might as well. And so then we joined the startup challenge to seek potential investors and see how we could continue from here.
Very cool. And actually a very similar project to yours, also using genetically modified bacteria, Australian, just got an investment last week. So yes, there's definitely the potential there as well. And I think the reasoning was very fair.
And they also came from the iGEM competition.
Also. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So going from that starting point, what actually have you guys learned as a team over the last few months going through the challenge?
Oh, so it's been a lot of work. Personally, for me, I combined working on all of this with my bachelor thesis research. So I really had to learn organization skills, how to divide my time properly so I could do research and work in the laboratory at the same time. And I think mostly what we learned was how to work as a team, because we're a big team of 13 people. So for everyone to find their own space and find where they would do best, I think that was the biggest challenge. But then once we got over that, everyone got their chance to shine. And then I think that's why our project was so successful, that we managed to get the gold medal in iGEM, and now we managed to get a prize at the startup challenge as well.
Yeah, that's sick. The that's gold medal sick. Also at iGEM is not nothing. Like, no. that's quite an achievement as well.
Yes, I'm also proud of
that. And you have the badge as well on your blazer.
Yes, of course.
Have to represent the achievement.
Definitely. Yes.
Cool. Then how about what you need going forward next? So you just won this prize. It does give you some money as well.
Yes.
But what does Nationaut actually need to continue from here on out?
Okay, so I think the most important step is definitely to continue with the scientific research before we move on to any business plans or any of the marketing strategy. We need to get the scientific basis straight. So for that, I think it's important that we move into a place where we can properly work on it. And I think the Brightlands Chemelot campus would be an indicated place for it. As you said, we would be following what Astorium is doing, so that's a good sign. And then once we manage to get the scientific part to work, then we can start gathering more contacts, building our network so we can continue working on this project.
Very cool. And indeed, I think scientific validation before trying to sell it is a fair shout.
Yeah. But shout out to the future investors, because...
Well, Alejandro, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to the future. And best of luck.
Thank you for having me here. I enjoyed it a lot.
Good. Thank you.
We maybe should do a full-blown episode.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun.
All right. Yeah, let's have you on.
Coming soon.
Nice. All right. Yes. Cheers.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Welcome, everyone. We're here with Vadim, the COO of The Heritage, which is a big winner here today at the Brightland Startup Challenge. Vadim, how does it feel to win both the Advanced Category Prize and the Brightland Smart Services Campus Prize?
Big pleasure, guys. Still shaking after the networking. I mean, a lot of people want to connect. A lot of people want to give some more opportunities to go further through our way. And yeah, I'm here on the podcast of two brilliant guys who will bring my personal brand also much higher than expected.
Very good, very good.
Very nice, yeah. So you actually won the big prize of the evening in the advanced category. So you actually won 3,500 euros. Just a little bit of clap for that. Congratulations, that's a really big prize to win. What are you going to do with it to get the Heritage to the next level now?
Yeah. To be mentioned, it's not the big prize, it's the biggest prize. Yeah. So, we have a lot of events on our roadmap just planned in the further months. So the nearest one is NFT Paris. Also, we will maybe join as the side event for TFOF. And finally, we were chosen from, I believe, 1,000 applicants to go to the Art Dubai digital section. And Art Dubai will be quite expensive. So we need to cover transportation costs for our prototypes, the team expenses, and of sure, some riding cost during the deserts trips of ours.
Nice. Now, so you talk a lot about arts, right? Like NFT Paris, the Art Dubai. What exactly does the Heritage do?
So we unveil the untouched treasuries. So we approach the private collectors, the owners of the art. It can be museum, gallery, investment fund. And we provide the services for the right marketing. And by utilizing blockchain, new technologies, we merge the gap between fine art, really outdated industry, and the new industry, which is technologies and the advancement of the 21st century. And we make the exhibitions around the world. We bring the liquidity to the market. We merge buyers and sellers, taking the commission on it, and provide personal curation for our owners.
Very cool. Very cool. So now you've actually won these prizes, but of course you learn a lot going through the challenge as well. So what value did the challenge bring to you from a few months ago to where you are today?
From the beginning, actually, our focus was not only on participation. As everybody say, the participation, the most important thing, of course. But at the same time, winning the prizes, winning the award and the fame, it's actually the factor which motivated us from the beginning. We enhanced our technologies. We did multiple events. We opened our gallery here in Maastricht in the Kieske. So it's fully owned by us. You can come and experience the immersive art by our products. And yeah, the cooperation with a lot of partners of the Brightlands motivated us to go forward. And you need to put yourself in the situation when not only you motivate yourself, but the things around your environment motivate you to accomplish the new goals.
Yeah.
And you did. So props for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we did so. And it's definitely also right, like what you say, like you need to get some motivating factor that's not just yourself bringing motivation to yourself, but also the surrounding factors, which is what you do with your team, because you have a really great team around you as well at the Heritage. So also props to them. Yeah.
Could you maybe tell a bit more about the team that's at the Heritage right now?
Yeah, so we have, I think, 6 members. At the same time, we have Offside and art dealer. He's based in London. So he is really important, actually, shoulder for us. He connects us with the private collectors, with the owners of the art, and he has really big reputation on the market. Internally, we are all based here in Maastricht. It's quite international team. We have people from Latvia. We have mostly Russian members who are really hungry to be successful in life. And yeah, to make their names known by the audience worldwide.
Very fair.
Very fair. After having won this prize now here, or these 2 prizes, actually, I should say, at the Brightlands Startup Challenge, what's next for the Heritage now in the coming month or the coming year?
So right now, as I said, we need to finalize our platform, our marketplace. Right now, we will dedicate all of our time on this. As I said, it's a really big responsibility owning these prizes. It's not just about the money and then partying like in Monaco on them. It's enough if you party properly. But at the same time, increasing the product and showing that Maastricht is the place where the true startups are born, and yeah, create a real value and make people know, the judges know, that the decision which was made is the right decision and they trusted the right company. Yeah.
Strong answer.
I think we're going to see some great things from the Heritage Layer in the future.
So. I hope to see you guys at TFF.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. For sure.
We'll be looking for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Vadim.
Thank you. Amazing.
Cheers. Maurice, welcome. We're sitting here with Maurice Lambrix from Brightlands. He is head of strategy and lobby, and we'll be speaking to him today about what Brightlands does at the Brightlands Startup Challenge. Maurice, what does Brightlands actually want to get out of participating and organizing this challenge?
Well, Brightlands is the brand for the innovative Limburg, and we have 4 campuses in Limburg. And what we strive for is that we build up our economy and strengthen that by having new economy and new companies in our region. And if you want to achieve that, then it's very important that you establish new companies. And it starts with good ideas. So that's what this challenge does, is having ideas from bright people, and we help them making their future happen and their ideas happen.
Very fair. And how do the ideas of today play into that? What were your main takeaways from the participants you saw today?
Well, we cooperate, of course, from the start 5 years ago. This is the fifth edition. And what you see during the years is that it's building up and getting better and stronger. So the competition between the ideas becomes better. So that's very good to see. And what you also see is that ideas from 5 years ago now are established companies. They started up as an idea. University Center for Entrepreneurship took it up, helped the teams to make their idea better, really suitable for starting up in the market. Then they came back in the next challenge last year and they won, for instance, Estuarium. And now they are funded by a venture capitalist and they're really entering into the market with a very good proposition.
Yeah, exactly. And also I think an important link to lay there is that Estuarium is currently at the Chio Labs, which is on the Brightlands Chemelot campus.
Exactly.
Right. So it really shows why these ideas can come to fruition here.
And when they started 3 years ago, they had a very big team with 15 participants. And it's all about the team, of course, and also about focus. So we said, well, you need to focus. So together with the Center for Entrepreneurship, they built that into their team. And then they came back last year with only 3 shareholders and a very good proposition. And also good outlook to the market, what really was their proposition to the market. Mm. And then it functions.
Yeah. Speaking of teams and how they can improve, you were a jury member today as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So what do you look for in these teams, in these ideas that make you pick them and stand out to you?
Well, if you look at the investment world, in Dutch they call it eerste vent dan de tent. And they really look at the team and the persons behind it. If they're passionate, if they're really willing to go the next mile and putting everything into at stake to set up their company. And you need that drive from that team to make it happen. And that's what we also look for as jury. And of course, you also look at the competitive advantage, their business plan, and what they're proposing to the market, whether that's sustainable and we can understand it, because we also have to explain it, of course. And if it's not a clear story, then you, of course, put them down. But none of them was not clear today. They all had a clear proposition. And then you really look at the team, their cooperation, and how they function.
So today was a difficult time to choose.
Absolutely. Well, it's also because they're completely different. Heritage, who has won the advanced course, and the other one, Iteria, were completely different companies. So it's comparing apples with pears, but still, yeah, you have to make a choice. So that's very difficult. What do you have in favor, and what is the element in which you say, well, this is the one that's going to win today?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, what was the defining characteristic?
Yeah, you can. We're now doing the Brightlands Startup Challenge 2 times a year, and it's more an ongoing competition. So it's not that you win something and then it ends. No, it's a continuous ongoing, and also helping from the Brightlands context in our region that companies are helped, but also making sure that they are established here in the region. And if you look at the winner Heritage, they really can start as of today. And Iteria still has some development work to do. And we challenge them therewith to also do that development work in our region. And then next year or the year after that, they come back and then even have a more thorough and better story.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's also the benefit of the change of doing it twice a year.
Exactly, yes.
It's a far more iterative process, which is far closer to the reality of starting your own business.
Yes.
Something that Sebastian and I both know quite well. Yeah. So.
And also for myself, I came last year with Unshackled. You could see that if it was done twice a year, we would have been able to get a bit further ahead in the second edition.
Because
it was a really short time to actually fully develop everything that we wanted to develop in the first 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
So the second edition will really help companies.
Yeah,
100%, especially for big technical projects like Ethereum. Then.
Also, if you want to have these people who have very good ideas more bound to our region, then one-stop shop is not good. If you have a continuous process, then they can be more bound and really enjoying this region and also seeing what we can offer to them, not only business-wise, but also in quality of life. And then if they are bound to our region, they will also establish their companies here. They will set up the families here. And that's also one of the goals, of course, of the Startup League. That's not only about the companies, but also about the people behind those companies.
Yep. Very fair. Yep. Very fair. So, of course, you had to pick which startup actually won, which in the end was Heritage for your category. But if there was one startup from either category today that you would want to join just for your own sake, just to be part of that process, which startup would it be?
Ux.
Why?
Because they're really working in a field of expertise which is developing, evolving in the world of healthcare. Organs on a chip, making personalized medicine, for instance, for oncology, is the next step in those therapies. And if we as a region are able to build up a company which has the platform on whatever place in the world new organs are being put on, we have the holy grail, because then you have the consumable which is constantly being used. We are going to provide it, and then it's of course a margin business, but a very huge market, instead of having the specific organs grown on that chip. So I prefer we have the chip instead of the organ.
Fair enough.
You know, definitely also come in with like economic valuable stuff for the region here as well.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Could be a unicorn.
Yeah,
could be.
Yeah. So what is in the future for you, for Brightlands, and for the challenge here together?
I think to simplify our story, we now have four campuses. We have a Brightlands brand, but many people know the brand, but don't know where it stands for. So if we in future time really have Brightlands the Innovative Limburg, and that's the one-stop shop where you can enter to, despite what a question you have, and then you are helped and broked to the right place to have your ID making happen, of getting a job, or getting just the nice stories of what's happening in Limburg, I think then we are doing the right thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we're on track.
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a very big step to have from the UM Challenge towards the Brightlands Startup Challenge. It's a big step we made, and now we have to build further.
Perfect. Maurice, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jalal, welcome. You are from UCX. You just won the Ideation Award here at the Brightlands Startup Challenge. How does it feel to win the prize?
Thank you very much. Expressing my deep feeling is really beyond words. But what I can tell you is that from day one, when my colleague and I stepped in, I said, Sven, we are gonna win this competition. Even though we are so busy, but there is real value in what we are doing. And I was so happy. You know, by the time that our name was announced as the winner, there was tears in my eyes, which I tried to clean as frequently as possible so that nobody sees. But what was going in my mind was like, oh my God, all the efforts that I put on it, all the suffering that I went through, and the patience and the faith that I kept in is really working. So, and I was so happy. And I just messaged my girlfriend and I said, didn't I tell you that we are gonna win? Yes.
It's like a culmination of what you've been working on for the last 3 years. Like tonight, the Lego blocks like click together.
Definitely, yeah. You know what? I'm a mechanical engineer, and I was working with my brother in doing air conditioning projects. I was cutting very big pipes and doing a lot of welding. My hands were always dirty. And then one day I said to my brother, I really don't want to do this. You know, I want to do something that is clean, that is nice, and also easier. Like, why should I do with all of these pipes and pumps to pump the water into different floors of a building? I don't want to do that. Then I really didn't know where I'm heading, you know, and I started to like biology. So I went to Italy to study biomedical engineering, but with a focus on biomechanics. And after 3 semesters, I was like, I really don't like what I'm doing. I want to do something more fun, you know, something more related to saving people's lives, to biology. And then I started doing biomedical engineering in cells and tissues. And you have no idea. Half of, 1/3 of the courses were offered in Italian, but I was so passionate that I joined the immigration camps to learn the Italian language with the immigrants, because there was the only place I could learn it for free. And then I was going to classes to learn biology and biochemistry in Italian as a mechanical engineer. So that was a real passion behind it. And when I finished my master's, I was lost. I was like, who am I? Am I a mechanical engineer? Am I a biologist? Where should I work? And then when I was sending CVs to companies, they never replied me back until I emailed the professor, and he really put his faith in me and he said, yeah, I have a project that we need an engineer to work in our lab. Come here. And at the beginning, it was so challenging. I was lost, you know. But after 3 years, all my knowledge of engineering, biology, chemistry, materials, as you said, everything just like a puzzle, like dots of the past connected to each other. And when I looked in the back, I saw, oh my God, this is the path I've been going without even me knowing it, you know? And that was the real magic, you know? One thing I really want to share with from the depth of my heart is that what I showed you was made with the least equipment available. 90% of what I made, I bought piece by piece from Amazon, put near each other, and made these prototypes, took it to the lab, and they worked, you know?
Wild. Do you maybe want to give our listeners an idea of what UCX does, and then they can get a sense of the gravity in terms of the potential?
Yeah. UCX is a company that would enable researchers to study questions far beyond what has been already possible by the conventional and traditional models. Imagine if you step into a pool of water where the water is static, it's not moving, okay? And you say, yeah, it's easy. Well, it's not that hard to stay alive, okay? Yeah, if you know a bit of swimming, it's easy. If the depth of the pool is not that much, it's easy. You just need to stay there. But what if you step into the Maas River, somewhere very deep, and then I tell you, okay, now stay alive, okay? How do you withstand all of these flow that is there, you know? And the reason I give you this example is because if you jump into your arteries and veins, you see that the blood is flowing within your arteries, okay? And mimicking this blood flow is actually what resembles the reality, okay? Many scientists study diseases in static pools. That is static. Our body is not static. That's why their models are far from reality. What UCX does is that, may I have that cup, please? What UCX does is that it can bring multiple organs. Imagine each of these is representing one organ. It can bring different organs together and then flow the medium that the blood into these organs with the help of a pump, that the pump resembles the heart that is beating, okay? And then this is reality. This is what the body is actually doing, okay? So UCX developed, first of all, a cost-effective way for producing these models that can be connected to the pump. The other thing that UCX did was we invented a controlling system that is able to feed different organs with different nutrients at a time. Because when you go into the lab, what nutrients, for example, kidney needs is different than what nutrients muscle needs. you cannot just give them a, I would say, one size fit all nutrients and expect all of them to grow. No, they don't. They really don't. So our system has enabled the feeding uniquely to each organ. And this is done for the first time that would enable so far the connection up to four organs. So we can go for multi-organ on the chips. And it's a true step towards resembling the human nature. Okay.
So you could kind of look at how the kidneys are affected to the liver or these kind of things.
Exactly. So if I want to explain more in depth what the idea came from was that I wanted to study how doing exercise and consumption of good nutrients is affecting the health of your muscles, okay? And how this muscle can help the prevention of diseases development in your lungs, okay? So I give you a very simple example. You've probably gotten cold in your life.
Yes.
And then you see you cannot walk well. There is pain in your muscles. You want to climb up the stairs and it's like, I cannot go, okay? The reason is that there is kind of an inflammation from your lung that is released throughout your bloodstream, and then it reaches your muscle and your muscle gets tense, okay? So I give you another example. The people who smoke, they are usually thinner, okay? Another example, those people who do exercise well, their heart beats slower, and also they do not breathe fast. You know, their breaths is so deep, like this, because the function of the heart, of the lung is so good, okay? So what we do, what actually stimulated the idea in my brain because of the PhD project was we need a model to study the interaction between muscle and lung, and we want to see how by exercising the muscle and giving it good nutrition, we can stimulate this muscle to release something into the bloodstream that would go all the way through your body and reach the lung, and the lung just takes it up and say, hey, this is coming from muscle, and let's integrate it into ourselves and become more powerful. I'm saying it's so simple, okay? So this is just an idea that we wanted to study. I give you my most recent result of the experiment that I have been doing. We could keep the lung cells alive so far for 8 days, while the conventional models can only do it for 2 days. Okay, yeah. When I connect the muscle to the lung with my system, it's like amazing. They stay healthy, not 50% healthy, not 100% healthy. So far, eight times healthier. And that is enabling researchers to study questions that before was not possible, because you cannot easily connect two pools together. You need pumps, you need controlling systems.
This is insane.
This is really crazy, yeah. And I'm thinking we should do a full episode on this as well.
We definitely should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalal, you've been working on this project for 3 years and it shows. But I think even before that, even more work. But I'm curious, has there been certain lessons that you've gotten out of the last few months being part of this challenge that have helped OCX clarify its proposition and helps it make it next step forward?
First of all, induction of the hope into people's heart. That is something that maybe some people just take it for granted. But I've been into 5 different countries, from Iran to Azerbaijan to Italy, Norway, and now Netherlands, you know. And I truly feel the difference in the support that you can get from the infrastructure, from a fully functional system in the country. A fully functional system is necessary for removing the obstacles in the way of such a challenging process of company development. And I'm really thankful about Brightlands, about all these people that they put their hope in people, you know, without doubting them.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks volumes also. It's a nice parallel to UCX. It's a system and trying to get those puzzle pieces to work together to make something more dynamic and that can come to fruition as well. Mm. Yeah, very nice. Okay, what are the next steps for UCX?
Well, first of all, finishing our PhDs, because we are insanely busy in our laboratories. Yeah. Let me explain it like this. Do you know Napoleon Hill? Yeah. He's got a book from 1927, which is called The Law of Success. 600 pages. And the first chapter of that is talking about the mastermind, which is a group of A players. And it's really through a teamwork that you can develop good things in any section. It's not only about company, also family or society, whatever. So what we need for now is a team of A players that can work together in a good harmony. And what we do is quite broad. You know, the system that I was showing has, it needs a knowledge of biology, mechanical engineering, materials engineering, chemistry, polymer chemistry, and all they need to work together. So, and at the same time, we need facilities like mechanical engineering workshops, chemistry laboratories, biology laboratories. And this is what I have tried individually to cover with, and also with my team so far. But if you really want to transform it into a company, we need to automate such stuff and also continuously scan the market to see if there is any point for improvements. Yeah.
Yeah. Very fair.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can wrap it up.
I think so, yeah.
All right. Jalal, thank you. Again, a big congratulations.
Thank you.
We don't know you well at all, but we're very happy that the puzzle pieces fit together. It sounds like you've been working on this for years and years. So let's hope that continues. Yeah. Onwards and upwards.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It was my pleasure to be talking to you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. It's a bit of a special one, but we hope it inspired you to actually join the Brighton Startup Challenge to see that these teams, they also started from nothing and they actually managed to win the challenge and get a lot of inspiration into the actual crowd here and inspiring other people to start. So please go to brightlandstartupchallenge.com to check out for the new edition. You can give us a like or subscribe on YouTube and also give us a follow on LinkedIn and on Instagram.
If you want to also leave a review, we really appreciate it. It helps us make the show better and gets us more listeners as well. So thank you for listening today, and we hope to catch you on the next one.